אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד כתבות מעניינות, היכנסו lsbs.com.au/hebrew.
We're in conversation today with podcaster, comedian, and writer Tammy Sussman, who is joining Kate Lewis for a live recording of their comedy podcast, You Were Great in Shul, as part of the Festival of Spoken Word. So first of all, hi, Tammy, and welcome to SBS Hebrew.
Thank you so much for having me, Dekel. It's a real honor to be on your show.
Our pleasure. I want to start first with the relationship between you and Kate, because you're from Sydney, right?
Yep.
And Kate is from Melbourne. So I'm curious, how did it start?
Well, it started when Kate was living in Sydney and we met at a birthday party, and we just found ourselves sitting in the corner being sarcastic and cynical together and really vibing off one another, so much so that I said, look, I don't really know you that well, Kate, but I'd like you to come to my birthday party that was coming up. I said, can you come as a special guest? So she said, sure. And it was just a group of my close friends and Kate. She showed up with her dog, and her dog urinated on my carpet and left a massive puddle. So from then on, it became a running joke. Thanks so much for coming to my party and for letting your dog pee on my carpet. And so that's how we started this kind of like a relationship of expressing our admiration for each other through roasting. So that's what Kate and I really do. It's a relationship of expressing love by making fun of each other.
So when did it become a podcast?
Okay, so it became the idea for this podcast, I guess the seed was planted during COVID. So we're talking 6 years ago. You might recall, I'm sorry if this is traumatic, triggering to any of the listeners, but you may recall that we weren't allowed to really leave our house or socialize with many people. So a lot of friendships went online or went on FaceTime calls or WhatsApp group calls. Kate and I are in a group with another friend. I'm not going to mention the name of the group because it'll probably get censored. But we were having this conversation about our circumstances. And I'm a marriage celebrant as well as an author and podcaster. And the third person in our group chat wanted to know about my poor wedding couples who'd had their weddings postponed because of COVID. You might recall, Dekel, that weddings were getting postponed. In Sydney, you were allowed to have them with two witnesses. But I'm pretty sure in Melbourne, there was just a no wedding policy. And when the third friend said, your poor wedding couples having to postpone their weddings, Kate, who's so sharp and so quick, she just piped up and said, the wedding couples, who cares about them? They can reschedule a wedding. Think about the poor bar and bat mitzvah kids. No one wants a bar mitzvah disco when they're 17. And so from that conversation, my middle grade book, So That Happened, was born. And then throughout that time, Kate's reading it and absolutely loving it. And she's feeding me stories of her own bat mitzvah as well. And then it got to the point where we thought, you know what, these conversations are so funny. They need to be recorded and other people need to hear about them.
Do you think that other people share the same feeling about their bar bat mitzvah? Because how did you get to the point you say, okay, I think that other people view it like me, they feel the same as Kate and I regarding our bat mitzvahs and bar mitzvahs?
That's a really good question, because so often you'll have a conversation with a friend and you'll think that the two of you are the funniest people in the world, but you're not really sure that other people can relate. And then we're sharing this idea with other people and they are absolutely loving it. And they're saying, oh my God, I need to tell you about what happened at my bat mitzvah, at my best friend's bar and bat mitzvah. Because even though, you know, even if we take the Jewish aspect out of it, it's a real, you're a tween, you're 12 and 13. It is such a fraught time as it is, your early high school years, or if you're international, that's middle school. There's puberty, there's high emotions, there's friendship dynamics, there's wanting to separate yourself from your family, but feeling pressure from, you know, family expectations as well. So it's a really universal theme, I guess, of coming of age and wanting to throw a party, belonging, status. It's all of those school ground dynamics at play, but I guess as Jewish people, we get, you know, the extra layers of society or cultural or religious expectation thrown on top of that, which just raises the stakes.
There's something so freeing with this feeling, right? That it's not just you had this kind of experience, that others had that too. So you are going to invite people to share some very personal and embarrassing memories. What makes someone a great guest for the show? And is there such a thing as too much information?
You're asking Kate and I if there's such a thing as too much information. We would say no, but I think our guests will use their discretion. We've got Josh Kirsch, who is a politician, and he is just so bright, so articulate. He's also 10 years younger than us, and we wanted to know if this experience of 90s cringe, you know, was intergenerational, and as it turns out, it is. We obviously wanted a male perspective because we're obviously talking about our bat mitzvahs. People may not know that Josh Kirsch, as well as being absolutely brilliant, bright, go-getter, a really charitable person, a really good egg, he's also very funny. He, I would say, sits in the category of people who are enthusiastic to come on stage and talk about his experience, loves having a laugh at himself. We also have Talia M. Salem. Now, listeners might know her as Little Star the Label. So she's a writer and an activist. Post October 7, she just, how do I say this? She just went ahead and advocated for the Jewish community like not many other people that I've seen. And I have so much respect for her. Kate has so much respect for her. So for her, she was more reluctant. She said, I don't know if I'm funny. And sometimes that's where I think the real comedy gold lives. It's in the people who don't think that they're funny. And I said to her, Talia, tell me why you don't think you're funny or your stories aren't funny. And she started listing off some ideas. And I was cracking up laughing. And I said, well, that's just so relatable. And that's just so cringe. And she showed me a picture of the dress she wore. And we had a laugh about that. Of course, you can mine so much comedy purely from the outfits. Sometimes when you get someone who might appear to be more straighty 180, which Talia doesn't at all, but someone who you might think, oh, she's doing all this advocacy, she's doing all this work to fight anti-Semitism, you know, I don't know how funny this person will be. People are multi-layered. So I think it's quite, I think that's also brave to be able to put yourself in, you know, in the comedic spotlight when the past few years you haven't had many opportunities to do that.
So you're going to ask these people about the cringiest moments from their special day. So it is only fair to ask, can you share with us what was the cringiest moment from your own bat mitzvah?
Oh, my goodness. Looking back, when I talk about my bat mitzvah, something you need to know about me and my family, Dekel, is that on my paternal side, we come from a long line of kosher butchers. So when it came to choosing the catering for my bat mitzvah party, there was a strong push from my grandmother to, you know, have some schnitzels from Tibby, who was the main Fleischer caterer in Sydney in the 90s. But the vegetarian caterer in Sydney was offering a special deal where if you booked with them, you got a free eye sculpture. And I really wanted an eye sculpture. It was two swans that formed the shape of a heart. That was a huge priority for me. I thought that would really bring my bat mitzvah, you know, up the scale of best bat mitzvahs. And I wasn't really a high achiever in primary school. There was nothing that was really, you know, that I excelled in. Wasn't sporty, wasn't particularly academic, but I really wanted to be the best at my bat mitzvah, and I thought no one else is going to have an ice sculpture. So I went with the vegetarian catering and I got my ice sculpture. Looking back now, I cringe so hard thinking about that decision. Oh, terrible. I did trip over on the way to say my speech. Like, there's just so much. There's the silver eyeliner. I know that some of our listeners might be thinking that I'm not at all talking about the actual ceremony and the meaning behind that. And we get into that in the show. Kate and I both grew up in a modern Orthodox context in the 90s where, you know, my mother didn't have a bat mitzvah. So it was a kind of a big deal that I was having a bat mitzvah at all, but it wasn't the kind of meaningful, enlightening, wholesome experience that it is these days. So we do address that in the show, that our priorities were out of whack, and that if we could do it again today, there obviously would be less a focus on, you know, the makeup and the eye sculpture and more on the, you know, the flesh of what we would say and research and explore in the process of the ceremony.
I came across this term, hot bat mitzvah.
Hot mitzvah.
I'm sorry. So
that's okay. I didn't know what it was either. This is from Kate, who watches the show Younger. She came across the term of a hot mitzvah, which is when adults either do the bar or bat mitzvah that they didn't get to do at the age for whatever reason, or if they want to redo and they want to do it again. I think, and people can fact check me on this, I think the character in the show Younger called it a hot mitzvah because she didn't feel that she was particularly attractive at the age of 12, so she wanted to do it again when she was hot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's a thing. People are doing it. And one of the questions that we will ask our special guests is, if they did have a hot mitzvah today, who would they invite? And how would that, yeah, how would the guest list differ? But who in particular, like a historical figure, a celebrity, a family member, who they would invite? And that might open the door for a more sincere response. There might be a family member they never got to meet, or it might add to the levity and just, you know, inject even more humor into the show. We'll see. That's the great thing about a live show, is that you can only rehearse so much, but other things are going to be a bit loose.
Is it the first time you're doing something like that, like a live show of the podcast?
I've done one before with my previous podcast, but this will be Kate's first live show. She's a beautiful writer, and she's been published in multiple publications and in the book Ruptured. But this is her first live comedy event, and I will be getting the audience to say Shechachianu for her when she arrives on stage.
Is this your first collaboration with Shalom Collective?
Before Shalom Collective were Shalom Collective, they were Shalom. And they gave me my first ever small grant, I think around 15 years ago, to put on my one-woman show. I feel so blessed that I've had the support of the Shalom Collective over the years. They are, I can't overstate how important they are to the arts, and in particular the Jewish community and Jewish creatives, especially after October 7, where we're all pretty much aware about the doxing of Jewish creatives and how Jewish creatives have been pushed out of cultural spaces and artistic spaces. I apply for grants all the time, and when I'm applying for grants, there's always that heaviness, that story in the back of my mind that, is this worth my time and energy? It takes a lot of time to apply for a grant, to make a pitch. To know that I can pitch a Jewish story and know that it is a safe space to do that, to know that this pitch was going to be received in a culturally sensitive space where people would understand where we were coming from, to feel seen, is just, it's absolutely game-changing.
Tammy, thank you so much for taking your time to speak with us today, and best of luck with the show.
Thank you so much, Dekel. And we're hoping to bring it to Melbourne, Next Stop Melbourne. And you know what? Let's just aim high. Maybe it'll go global.
סמנו לייק, שתפו והגיבו. עקבו אחרי SBS Hebrew בפייסבוק.